Printed in your worship folder are the familiar words of the favorite psalm, the 23rd psalm. I put the King James Version in there because we use a more modern translation now. But would you read with me those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," from Psalm 23. Just six simple verses to comfort our hearts and occupy our attention today. From the worship folder, starting at the bottom of the first page. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd, dear loved ones of Walter, loved ones of God, it's complicated. You ever hear anybody describe their life that way? You ask them how they're doing and they just say, it's complicated. It's like, how long do you have? It's a long story. We can stay here all day and I'll tell you, but in God's view of things, life is really not complicated at all. In God's view of things, it really comes down to just one question for every one of us, individually before God. Where will you spend eternity? When you know the answer to that question, then your life can have all the ups and downs of a roller coaster, but it's more like being at the state fair than it is a terrible train wreck or derailment. There are the ups and downs, the back and forth, the wind is blowing in your face, you'd like it at your back. Just when you think everything is downhill, it's uphill again. Life goes like that. But when you know where you will spend eternity, you know that at the end of that ride we call life, there's safety. And all along the way, there is that bravery and that courage, that tranquility and peace of the one who can say with David the psalmist 1,000 years before Christ about his coming descendant, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." One of my last visits with Walter was, of course, at the Inver Glen Senior Care Center, where he was in the memory unit. So you have to press a button to get in there and press a code to get out. And as it happened on that visit, he was eating dinner in the dining hall with the rest of the residents as the caring staff was bringing out their dinner. And I just remember Walter was on my left, and there was a woman named Eloise on my right. I don't remember her from any other visit. And she kept talking about how it was such a nice place to be. The food was good. Everything's taken care of, she said. They cook all of our meals. They take really good care of us. Now, if you visited Walter there, you know that he was used to Vienna's cooking. And his comments reflected that. But what I noticed about Walter in those times when, I mean, my mom even says, you never want to get old. It's a tough time. It's hard to be positive and like you always were in your youth. But even at those times when we would stop and consider the Lord's blessing, there was always this peace that would come over him because the Lord is my shepherd. The last visit, about 2 weeks ago, I found him asleep in his room. And when he asked me what time it was and I said 2:30, he thought it was at night. I don't think I ever saw him lie down during the day. He was just usually up and able to be doing things. And his room was all confused that day. Things were where they weren't supposed to be, and he was losing things. And you know, I had explained to him that the bathroom was just around the corner. This is your room, and these are all your things. And that was just part of that confusion where you know that the sun is setting, the evening is coming on this life of this man that I've known these many years. So at a time like that, when he thinks it's at night, it's like tucking him into bed to go to rest, go to sleep. We said the Lord's Prayer and this psalm. And once again, the words just bring that peace and comfort over his face that shows from what's going on in his heart, because Walter Kretzner could say with conviction, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Words written 1,000 years before Christ by a man named David. He became the king of Israel after he had been a shepherd boy in what we call Palestine, the promised land, Judea at the time. And this psalm, if you ask people what their favorite psalm is, or you just start saying the words, they might not know the number, but they'll recite it by heart. They'll just say the words. It's amazing how we can understand and find comfort from this psalm all these years later, even though many of us have maybe never seen a sheep or a lamb except at the state fair. But if you've ever had to herd sheep or lambs, you have a real appreciation for this psalm written by a former shepherd. Years ago, I found a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. There are copies of this sermon on the table out there if you want to find one and find that book. It's a classic. If you love this psalm, you got to find Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He just goes verse by verse. In fact, every chapter takes a half a verse, so 12 chapters for 6 verses, talking about his experience growing up in East Africa as a shepherd boy among Maasai shepherds. And then moving to America, Philip Keller became a scientist and a shepherd here. He prepared a lot of pastures up in Canada. That might sound strange because, you know, all over the Midwest, you know, what's a pasture? It just grows by itself. Just don't plant anything else there. The grass grows. But most of the world takes a lot of care of removing rocks and killing weeds and really taking care of that pasture so that your sheep can know that they're well cared for and say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Much of what I know about taking care of sheep, I learned from that book and Philip Keller sharing his experiences. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, which he has carefully prepared. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." There's something about sheep that makes them need more care than any other animal. I mean, just think about sheep. They can't run. They can't hide. They can't fight. They've basically got nothing except the shepherd. The shepherd is what stands between them and death, either by their own foolish wandering or the predators that are always out there trying to catch an easy meal. So when he says, "He leads me beside quiet waters," there were sheep that Philip Keller watched following their shepherd who was taking them up into the high country where the water would be clean and clear over the rocks if only they'd follow. But they would stop and drink out of every mud puddle along the way, catch these parasites and nematodes in their system. I don't know what nematodes are, but that's what they ate. And then they'd get sick later. Kind of like people. We're more like sheep than we care to admit. People like to drink from every mud puddle too. Every crazy idea that comes along, there are people that'll just suck that up and then wonder why they get sick in their heart and soul and in their life. But the Good Shepherd keeps calling us to the pure, clean water. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. I'll show you where the water's clean and clear." A friend of mine who's a pastor told me that he was caring for his uncle's sheep on one occasion where he was trying to lead them after a rainstorm to a pasture, and it was even a paved road, he said. But you know how sometimes you get a puddle on the paved road that's half an inch deep? He could not get the sheep to cross over that puddle. He pushed them, he called them, he did everything he could, and finally, he went back and he picked up the lead ewe. That's a female sheep. Carried her across that little puddle, and then all the other ones followed like sheep. When we hear the shepherd's voice, we follow that voice when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. Philip Keller taught me something in that book about a huge difference between the way they herd sheep in the West as opposed to in the East. I've seen ranchers out in North Dakota driving their sheep with dogs. It's not cruel. The dogs know what they're doing, but those border collies, the Australian shepherds, they can bring those sheep around. It's amazing to watch a sheepdog at work. But in the East, like in East Africa or in the land where David was a shepherd in Judea, the shepherd actually goes ahead of the sheep and they listen to the sound of his voice. So you can have a mixed flock of sheep all in one fold, as they call it, in one pen, and the shepherd can go in and start talking and his sheep will just follow him out. But they won't follow a different shepherd because they can tell the sound of his voice. So this is what Jesus says about his sheep in what we call the Good Shepherd chapter, John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them, you get that? It's not earned, it's a gift. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's the Lord's promise for the way he watches his sheep. And I've seen many times where the Lord brought his sheep back into the sheep pen from hearing his word at a funeral like this, where you hear your shepherd's voice again and realize, I've been away too long. My good shepherd wants me back. He wants me to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. In a gathering like this, there are probably about 4 out of 10 who haven't been in church for the last 6 months except for a funeral or a wedding. Where I'm from out west, it's 80 or 90%. Just the way it is. But the Lord calls us back at times like this. He wants to give us that water that's clean and pure so that we can all say with Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, and have our own souls restored in the comfort that God gives of full and free forgiveness. The sheep following the shepherd up into the high country will have to go through valleys, the dark valleys where the water runs down the mountainside. And the water scares them, and there are predators in the rim rock up above them. But as they follow the good shepherd, they hear his voice, and so they're at peace as they go up into the high country. Through the valleys, he leads me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. To hear his voice, to know that the Lord is leading, we have nothing to fear, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And that was one thing that was so clear in Walter's life all this time. And to think, you know, the Lord gave him pretty good health and strength all the way up to the end like that. What a blessing with the Lord leading him. But it was that contentment inside him. Even though it was getting dark on the outside, the evening of his life, so to speak, inside there was that light from knowing the Lord is my shepherd, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, maybe it was a long time ago that the Lord put his name on you. When you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's actually the implication. In the name of means like you have a car in your name or a house in your name. And when God puts his name on us in our baptism, that means we become his own to care for, and it's his name, his reputation, that's on us as his sheep to watch over us. And so he takes things personally with how well you're cared for, how well you're loved and comforted through His holy word. He makes sure that we have that comfort and that peace that we need for His name's sake. He's not concerned about who put the water on. The Bible doesn't say it has to be sprinkled, poured, or immersed. But in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He says that word-powered water washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, because the words and promise of Jesus say that in the last chapter of Mark. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's for His name's sake He wants those sheep. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Most people have seen pictures of Jesus like the Good Shepherd with that long staff and the hook reaching down to pull the lamb off the ledge where he's fallen, and you think about the comfort of that staff. I didn't know until Philip Keller told me in his book that the rod is actually something different. Growing up with Maasai shepherd boys, they would take a sapling and cut it off about 18 inches above the root ball, and then carve it down into their own personal, we would call them a knob carry or a rod. And they would practice with these so that just in the flick of an eye, they could throw these with unbelievable accuracy. In fact, there was a time climbing up on some rocks where Philip Keller was about to get bit by a cobra. And before he could even register that the snake was there, the Maasai shepherd boy had killed it with one snap of his wrist on that knob carry. As our Lord Jesus saves His sheep with the rod against the serpent of hell. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's the word of God. And that rod from the Lord's mouth, that power, that extension of His might can send the devil packing. The rod is also for discipline if there's a sheep that's going off, getting away, wandering, and needs to be brought back. The shepherd can throw his rod and get the attention of that sheep. I think that that discipline factor probably comes up more in the elderly at the time when they have to lose their license. You know what I mean. I've had more conversations with people my age, with aging parents, and getting to that point about when the children become their caregivers of the parents. It's a time in our lives that is uncomfortable for all of us because we have to make decisions for our parents. And we were, in fact, I've told elderly parents, you raised your children according to the fourth commandment to honor you. Now let them honor you. There comes a time in the life of all of us, if God gives us that long a life and faithful children to take care of us, that the children have to start making decisions. And you see the wisdom of God in giving that commandment, not always saying to obey, sometimes it says that to children, but it says to honor your parents, and that's for all the life. And sometimes in honoring our parents, we can't obey them. I've told grown children that. You can't do what they say if it would endanger them or endanger other people out on the road. And so then I have to share that instruction with the elderly sometimes and remind them. And I tell them, when I get to the point where these bad eyes just aren't going to work anymore, and I would want somebody to take my license away so that I would not be able to harm someone else on the road. This is hard, you know. But your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even at a time like that, the rod of the Lord, His discipline, is good for us to go back to Him and say, my times are in Your hands. And then leave it up to Him. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me at every time in my life, young or old. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many times was I there with Walter in Vienna until the Lord took her home to give her and him the Lord's table, His holy body and His precious blood in with and under the bread and wine, because the Lord says, this is my body, this is my blood, and gives us the forgiveness of sins in that blessed sacrament. And the comfort and the peace that comes from that over and over again. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Keller talked about rutting season with the sheep when they could butt each other so hard they could kill each other. He would oil their heads. Imagine watching sheep so angry they're butting heads but slipping off each other and falling down because the oil has got them all greased up. It can take away the flies and the things, the insects that bother the sheep too. But even in those times when we're at each other like that, to have the Lord as our shepherd means we can stop and laugh at our own foibles, our weaknesses as sheep, our weary wandering, and praise the Lord for the way he brings us back. He wants us in his flock. He says, there are other sheep not in this sheep pen. They too must be in my flock. There will be one shepherd, and the sheep will be mine. We know that that is true for everyone here because the Bible says Christ died for all. There's no exceptions. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. No exceptions. It says God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. No exceptions. If you're in the world and you're worldly, as I am, God wants you. He forgives you. He's already forgiven you. He's calling you today so that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And surely goodness and love, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When a good shepherd is leading his sheep, they actually leave behind pastures that are more healthy than when they came. The sheep eat in the grassy low part and deposit those seeds on top of the hills with fertilizer. And as long as he moves his sheep through the pastures and doesn't leave them to rut and ruin the pasture, as long as it's the careful care of a shepherd whose name is on those sheep with his reputation, the pastures are more healthy when they leave. There's a legacy to those who say, the Lord is my shepherd. There is a legacy in the life of Walter Kretzner. Honorable, faithful care in two marriages. Faithful husband. The first funeral I had before I was even a pastor, I was a vicar at the time, was for a man named Walter Stark. Same situation. Honorable man, two marriages. It's such a blessing to see men like that who honor God in the way they honor their wives. But they leave behind a legacy not only of honor, but of love. Walter, in his generous support of Christian education, left behind a legacy of love. The congregation here that he really helped as a charter member get us started, a legacy that people that don't even know him will be able to come and hear the word of the Lord and be called back to the shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not the legacy that he wants to leave all of us who loved him and honor him on this day? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let this be the legacy of Walter Kretzner in your life, that you can say, as he says, the Lord is my shepherd. For Jesus' sake, amen.